This episode of The Compendium is sponsored by the Deck of Stories Kickstarter. The Deck of Stories is a fresh new storytelling system that helps you to create a legendary adventure in just 15 minutes, so you can spend less time prepping D&D and more time actually playing. Check it out on Kickstarter.
Welcome to The Compendium, a resource that's designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
All right, the final condition. That sounds like something different. The final word on our conditions list. No, not death, unconsciousness.
Oh, yeah, it's the baby cousin of death, yes. So unconscious, this is also a great one for combat. It's hard to do, but it's pretty great. So the unconscious condition means that it is also, once again, incapacitated, can't move or speak.
This would be a terrible or a good drinking game, depending on how you look at it.
How many times incapacitated comes up? Well, I think if you do this, depending on what you're drinking, by the time we get to unconscious, you would be.
There you go.
Yeah, so, you know, play at your own risk, I guess. So they can't move or speak. This unaware of their surroundings, kind of like how petrified was. They drop whatever they were holding and they fall prone because they're unconscious, right? This creature automatically fails all strength and dexterity throws, saving throws, because they're unconscious. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage because they're unconscious. And attacks that hit the creature hit as though they have a critical hit if they're within 5 feet. So you're starting to see a lot of overlap going on with some of these things in varying degrees. So it's very similar to some of the other ones we've seen. This one is just that you're not awake anymore. And so all this bad stuff can happen to you now.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, again, just for my own brain, compartmentalizing them to really understand the small differences between them. So like with unconscious versus maybe paralyzed. With paralyzed, you might still be able to listen and comprehend everything that's happening and hear the enemy's plans for, you know, storming the castle. Whereas with unconscious, you wouldn't be able to assimilate that. Otherwise, a lot of the effects would be similar in certain regards, right? So that could be like a niche way to differentiate some of these different conditions.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the easiest ways to attack someone with the unconscious condition is wait until they're asleep. That's because being asleep grants you, thanks, the unconscious condition. And there's a first level spell called sleep, which puts people to sleep and now they're unconscious. And you can just go up to them and almost auto-crit them over until they wake up, right? And they wake up when they take damage for sure, but maybe they'll never wake up if you do it good enough. In fact, in older versions of the game, I think 3.5 had something called the coup de grace, which is like the killing blow. And that's not in fifth edition, but the unconscious condition basically lets you do that same kind of idea. And so that's also too why it's so bad that if you've been dropped to 0 hit points and you're unconscious, that if someone attacks you and you take any amount of damage, it counts as 2 death saving throws, because you're no longer tracking hit points. So that crit doesn't matter, but it does matter because it's hurting you in the sense that you're losing death saves rapidly, automatically, and it's really hard to kind of get out of that situation.
Right.
So now you said that this was the last one. However, there's another.
What are you going to do to me?
I feel like Yoda. No, there is another. Exhaustion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's got its own little weird side box
here.
It's got
its own little box like that has like warning, danger, police line, do not cross, right? So exhaustion.
And this is such a good one too. It's just not, not in the list. My analytical brain is like, no, why would you do this?
Well, hey, it's got its own box, so it gets its own conversation. How about that? All right. So exhaustion is really great because exhaustion typically is going to happen over long periods of time. And what it does is it tracks what happens to a person's body when they don't take regular rest. If they pull an all-nighter, you know, if the fighter's just like, I've got full hit points, don't worry about it. I'll stay up all night because I don't trust you chuckleheads to guard my unconscious body. Thank you very much. Then they're going to take a level of exhaustion because they have been awake too long. Or the brand new book as of this recording that just came out was Rime of the Frost Maiden, where they're in really cold environments for a long time. Being in really cold environments and other harsh environmental situations can also lead to this. It'll usually tell you in the description. But there are six levels to this condition, which is kind of unique. Not just bullet points, but it is different levels. So the first level is they have disadvantage on their ability checks. And this hangs out until they're able to rest apart from this detrimental scenario they find themselves in, whether that's extreme cold, high altitude perhaps, or sleeplessness. So level one is disadvantage on ability checks. And then level two is their speed is halved. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean the stuff from level one goes away. It also adds the stuff from level two. So disadvantage on ability checks, speed is halved. Number three is disadvantage on attack rolls and saving throws. There's that saving throw disadvantage we've been dreading. Four, your hit point maximum is halved. Oh, Lord. Okay, five, their speed is reduced to zero. And six, death.
So there really isn't like a level six. It's just when you cross that threshold, you're dead.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like the Walking Dead where you're just like zombie-esque until you collapse.
Right. And there's ways around death in D&D. But yeah, the sixth level is the last level. Do not pass go. Do not collect full hit points. You're dead. And so usually it's extreme situations like sleeplessness and stuff. But there's also some monsters and spells that can cause levels of exhaustion. Which is really interesting too. In fact, I was going to look for one right now. There are some undead that can cause people to take levels of exhaustion.
How does that work? They're just like sucking the energy from you?
Yeah, basically okay. That's what they're doing. But basically what it does is it represents your life energy being drawn out of you. And there used to be, in second edition especially, there'd be effects that would drain your levels, like your character levels, which is terrifying. You don't get them back like just by killing the monster either. They're just gone. Or they would drain your strength points. So if you had an 18 strength, then you had a 17, then a 16, until you get to zero, and then you just die. And probably come back as a wraith or something. So the exhaustion is a much more merciful and interesting way of kind of replicating that from older editions that they have in fifth, but it's not super common, as you can tell. I just looked up three or four different monsters and what I was thinking of. So there are other ways for that to come about. And there's even some spells, I think, like Greater Restoration, which can magically get rid of some levels of exhaustion as well.
Well, I know that certain, I want to say, classes can induce exhaustion by utilizing certain class traits. I feel like the Paladin or the Fighter or something I've had in the past, or Goliath, I don't know. Something Barbarian, something that you can do that will voluntarily like induce.
Yeah, barbarians, when they do that kind of rage, the not reckless, but it's the other one, the frenzied rage. Yeah, frenzied rage for the berserker barbarian, that when they do it, they can make extra attacks as a bonus action. But when they're done, they suffer a level of exhaustion, which goes away if they get a long rest. But if they do that multiple times in a melee or in a single day, they're going to be in a heap of trouble. It's going to be really, really hard.
Yeah, and I think that actually brings up another point of exhaustion that we didn't necessarily, I don't think we mentioned yet, which is recovering from it. It's not like damage where you take a long rest and, whew, I feel great again. This actually specifies that once you do a long rest, you only recover a single level of exhaustion. So it's not like, oh, you're just tired, go take a nap. It's like, no, you need to have some really good sleeps over the period of several days to get back to where you started.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is that it's not something that's shaken off easily without magic. And so if you're getting a lot of levels of exhaustion, you need to pump the brakes and find a place to hang out and rest for, you know, a good long while. So yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
Okay, so now that we defined these different conditions as is outlined in the official rule book. You have a interesting way of categorizing these that might help, depending on how people think through this stuff, that might help people be able to sort through them a little bit easier mentally. So do you want to share that with everyone?
Yeah, exactly. So I realized when I was looking through the conditions a while back, I was like, man, these are hard. And it seems like they use a lot of the same mechanics over and over, but don't like call it out, like as we kind of notice with the different things. And so I made a PDF called Easy Conditions. And it's a free download. You can actually go to my website, thecriticaldice.com, and click blog. And on like the second page, there's an article called Easy Conditions. And so what I did is I kind of organized things by common effect. And so to kind of do it in no particular order, I did like, here's all the sensory related conditions. And so there's deafened, which means you can't do anything with your ears. There's blinded, which gives you attacks have advantage. Attacks against you have advantage, attacks that you do have disadvantage, and you can't see anything. And then invisible is like blinded, except that it's like you're hiding, like being heavily obscured, and you can be detected by noise or tracks you make. And then I put the movement ones together. So grappled, your speed is zero. You can be moved out of the condition, and the ends of the grappler's incapacitated. Restrained is grappled, and then also like blinded, but you can see and yada yada, right? So I kind of lay these out. I put poisoned and fear together. So poisoned gives you disadvantage on attacks and ability checks. Frightened is just like poisoned while in line of sight of the object of your fear and you can't go closer. And then I went over to the incapacitated stuff and I kind of listed it in order of magnitude. And the first one under incapacitated is charmed, because you've become socially incapacitated, which I thought was very funny. And so you can't attack the charmer and they have an advantage on social checks. Incapacitated, no actions, no reactions. Stunned, which is means you're incapacitated. You have no movement, faltering speech, auto fails, strength and dex saves, and attacks against you have advantage. Paralyzed, just like stunned, but you have no speech, and you'd auto crit against you if you have 5 feet, within 5 feet. Unconscious is just like paralyzed and prone together, and you're unaware of your surroundings and you drop your actions. And then petrified is like paralyzed with no auto crit, but you also gain resistance to all damage, immune to poison and disease, you're 10 times your weight, transformed, and you halt your aging. And so it's lists them out in more like kind as opposed to alphabetical, and also references lesser versions of the conditions with mm-hmm. notable differences. And so you can find that on my website at thecriticaldice.com.
Yeah. And that's breaking it down that way is a nice way to, if you're not sure which one to pick, have a better idea of like, what's the severity of the situation. You can kind of gauge based off of that instead of just trying to like read all of these different like definitions of what these things do and then pick which one sounds the best. So.
Yeah. I made a flow chart. It was pretty fun. So yeah.
Said no one ever.
Apparently someone did. So yeah. So those are our conditions. And I think we are actually done with conditions.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode of The Compendium. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so, since episodes are published every Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Thursdays if you're a patron on our Patreon account. If you enjoy listening each week, a great way to help support the show outside of contributing to our Patreon is just by sharing a link to this episode with one of your friends that you think might like it too. We hope to see you back in a few days for the next episode, where we're going to be continuing our discussion, delving further into the world of D&D.